Is April 24th, 2017, and it is a public hearing on House Bill 5013, the Judicial Branch. Mr. Bender, would you please get us started?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair and subcommittee members. OJD is here to for the first of 2 days of their Phase 2 testimony. We've asked them to come back to focus on two topics. The topic that they're going to be talking about today is state support for the funding of county court facilities. And tomorrow, there will be an actual request related to a funding request for support of a project in Douglas County. But the major portion of tomorrow will be focused on state court technology funding. Just to clarify, in this particular, for this first topic, even though county courthouses are county facilities, these are not state facilities, and counties have traditionally funded the costs of maintaining and building them. The state has established two programs to assist counties. The first is a program that uses criminal fine account, or basically cash, to finance improvement projects at county courthouses. And the second program is a more recent program that uses general obligation bonds to support the construction of new court facilities to replace old ones. The discussion today will be on both of these programs.
Thank you, Mr. Bender. I think I have something for you. Some glasses.
Oh.
They're in my office. You have another pair.
Thank you, Senator.
You want to start off, Mr. Lemon?
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Co-chairs, members of the committee, I'm Phil Lemon from the Judicial Department. With me is David Moon, the director of our business.
I probably should explain, though, that comment.
I wasn't going to say nothing.
It just so happened that I did not have my glasses last week, and Mr. Lemon was kind enough to offer me his cheaters so that I could see what I was reading. Now, Mr. Lemon, thank you.
And then a higher authority came in, and I had to leave quickly, so the last thing. Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, members of the committee. I'm Phil Lemon from the Judicial Department. With me is David Moon, who's the director of our fiscal business and fiscal services division. And we have been the staff leads on courthouse projects for the Judicial Department for several years and wanted to give you this update on some activities. We're going to give you a brief overview of the two programs that Mr. Bender referred to. We're going to introduce a couple changes to our requests for improvement projects, and summarize our December 2016 report to the Emergency Board with the Chief Justice's 12-year plan for replacement projects. There is some repetition here from Phase 1, so I plan to just kind of refresh your memories briefly and not spend a lot of time, but if you have questions, please feel free. As you heard in Phase 1 from the Chief Justice, in 1981, the state established a unified court system. At that time, the state assumed responsibility for both the indigent defense program and for the operations costs of circuit courts. The state already had its judges in place, but in 1981, it assumed responsibility for the staff, supplies, and personal property supporting those operations in the county courthouses. The counties retained the responsibility for both the facilities and the security for those facilities. The next big action was in 2007. The legislature had an interim committee on court facilities that developed standards for court facilities and then commissioned an assessment of all 48 court facilities in the state of Oregon. And that was a massive document that has served as the baseline for many of the activities, both on the improvement and replacement side, that we'll be talking about today. So that information is somewhat dated, but it still kind of gave us a good comparison on the status of many of those court facilities. In 2011, as part of the retooling of how fines are imposed in offense cases, a portion of that revenue was set aside The fines were set at an amount to allow some funding for improvement projects. So that money goes unearmarked into the criminal fines account, but that, as you know, is where our allocation for these court improvement projects comes from. And then in 2013, the state bond support for courthouse replacement projects, it allows a state funding match through Article 11Q bonds of up to 50% of the court portion of a project. So if a court facility contains both the court and county offices, the court shares the cost of the court portion only of that project. And then the Chief Justice has to make some findings, which I'll discuss a little later. The program is administered by both the Judicial Department and DAS, and then the state negotiates a leasehold interest in that court facility for the life of the state bonds. So as Mr. Bender mentioned, there's kind of two flavors of money involved here. Capital improvements, which are smaller projects, repairs and maintenance that come through the CFA. We get approximately $3 to $3.5 million per biennium. Using many of the reports from that 2008 assessment, we focus on life safety, Americans with Disability Act improvements, as well as urgent repair needs. We work in the interim with the Association of Oregon Counties, and they help us solicit projects and make priority recommendations to the Chief Justice, who submits them as part of his budget. And that fulfills his statutory requirement to submit a biennial capital improvement plan for courthouses. There is no match required for those CFA funds. And then the second flavor of money is the state bonds through the OCCIF, the Courthouse Capital Construction Improvement Fund. And with your permission, I'll continue using the acronym.
I don't have my piggy bank up.
This is to help counties replace unsafe courthouses. These facilities have to have significant seismic or other structural defects that present a life safety threat. The state matches at 25%, but if the county co-locates a state office in addition to the court, it can qualify for up to a 50% match. And then use general fund for the debt service on those state bonds. And again, the Chief Justice and the Department of Administrative Services both have to approve these projects and the bond sales as we move forward. So a little more detail on the CFA projects. This money consists of fine revenue imposed for crimes and offenses by both state courts and local courts. Those would be your municipal and your justice courts. Those come to the criminal fines account, and then you have ORS 137-300, which authorizes specific recipients for those funds. And one of those statutorily authorized recipients is the state court facilities and security account. And that's funded, again, each biennium through our budget process. We have multiple projects that you approve every biennium, and we want to give you just a brief synopsis of where we are on those things. The vast majority are completed or in their final stages, and you can see them listed there. We had two projects that were not initiated because as we worked with the counties, they just decided they were not in a position to move forward with those specific projects. So the single point of access, in other words, focusing entry into the courthouse to a single point to enhance security, did not go forward this biennium. As a result of those actions, projects coming in under budget and those other projects not going forward, We have submitted a formal request to this committee that I understand will be on the agenda tomorrow morning that will ask to repurpose $500,000 in 2015-17 funds to move the Chief Justice's top priority for 17-19.
Mr. Lemon, just for the record, we'll be here tomorrow afternoon.
Thank you. I can't wait, so I'm just trying. Tomorrow afternoon, yes. The county courthouse in Douglas County has a real problem with its water pipes. It has turned off hot water to the court portion of the building for 10 years, and its cold water pipes are now to the point where they are corroding and really not very functional or producing palatable water. So this is what we're asking for your help to replace so that the people who work and visit in the Douglas County Courthouse have
That's a very gross show and tell.
I apologize, Mr. Moon was supposed to do that, but he missed his cue, so I So again, that would just be to repurpose existing funds to get that work done more quickly. In addition, we are resubmitting our 2017-19 requested projects. As I mentioned during phase one, we had a courthouse replacement project in Tillamook County. The county was unable to raise all of its matching funds and so withdrew its request for the bond funding. The county and the court have been working together since that time to develop an alternative proposal, and they are on the verge of having a finalized plan. The county has increased its contribution to that project from $1 million to $1.5 million and is asking the state to contribute an equal amount so that they can expand the courtroom, which is actually smaller than this hearing room, and also make some other changes to the jury assembly area and office space to make that a more suitable and sufficient facility. It was ranked as one of the worst court facilities in the state, and we think that this is a very important step to make that a better facility, both for the court and the county and the people who have to visit and work in there. The top priority otherwise in 1719 is the Douglas County Courthouse, and if we can get that money moved up, then we will not obviously ask for that funding again. And then the remaining priorities are unchanged. These are ones that we worked with the Association of Oregon Counties through the interim and presented in the Chief Justice budget. They're listed here in alphabetical order. And what we do is we take those as a body and go out. You'll see that, for example, Benton has a couple different requests. Clatsop has three. We will go out and work with the county to see how we can combine those things, create some efficiencies, make sure that they're not interrupting each other, and then get that work done and report back to you. Now we'll turn to the bond-funded construction in the OCCCIF. Right now that money consists of Article 11 Q bonds. When the county has matching funds, it is required by statute to run those through the OCCCIF, where they return to the county within a week, basically, but they are then dedicated to that courthouse project. So one of the reasons you see such a large request for expenditure limitation is basically we're putting in the state's money and the county money and releasing both of those along the line. The OCCCIF can receive other types of funds, whether it's other funds, general funds. You have not done that at this point. Again, the goal is to help counties replace unsafe courthouses. The state match applies only to the court or state portion of the project. And we talked about the matching fund and the limitation. OJD has submitted two policy option packages. One is for the expenditure limitation for the bond sales. The other is for general fund for debt service. And again, the three findings that I discussed earlier, the Chief Justice has to make in order for this project to move forward. The current courthouse has to have significant structural defects, including seismic, which threaten human health or safety. That a new courthouse or remodeling a facility other than the current courthouse is more cost effective than remodeling the current courthouse, and that moving forward with this project creates an opportunity to co-locate the court with another state office. And then, as I mentioned, the debt service is also in the OJD budget. So more specifically, in policy option package 410, we are asking for a little over $212 million in other fund expenditure limitation. The first item there is to complete construction of the Multnomah County Courthouse. The county is asking for two bond sales in the 17-19 biennium. We also have construction-related furnishings that are the state's responsibility to provide in approximately $8.9 million. And then the Chief Justice, again, after this AOC process to recommend priorities, is requesting funding for two new projects. One is a one-and-done proposal for Hood River County and $4.4 million in state bonds, and the other is to initiate a three-biennium project in Clackamas County and start that out with $1.25 million in planning funds. I should also mention that Lane County has, after the Chief's budget was prepared, Lane County has requested another $5 million in bonds to continue their project. The Chief Justice supports that, and to the extent we're not able to fund all these projects, we would love to have that conversation with you about his more immediate priorities. But that is not in this amount. It's not in this document just because of timing, but he does support that project going forward. Now I'm going to slow down and take a little more time to talk about some of the recommendations that were in the report for the Emergency Board. We went through a process and worked with the Association of Oregon Counties to identify counties that were interested in replacing their courthouses over the next 12 years. We were asked then to prioritize them to present to you with the potential costs over the next 12 years, and then also bring to you recommendations on how to stabilize some of those funding requests. So I'd like to walk you through what we came up with. The first priority, not surprisingly, is to finish what we've started. So we have Multnomah County, which is asking for its final construction appropriation and then an initial bond request for the furnishings, the FF&E, in this coming biennium. The request for Tillamook County was still alive at the point that we presented this report to the emergency board, but that since has been withdrawn for replacement funds. And then Lane County, this body authorized about $1.5 million in planning funds this biennium. We have the supplemental request for 2719, and then their larger construction request would come in the 1921 biennium. The second tier of priorities are those projects that were recommended as priorities by the Association of Oregon Counties and approved by the Chief Justice. There's a one-time request for $4.4 million for a Hood River County Courthouse. And again, you can see that Clackamas is requesting, at least it is contemplating at this point, a three-stage funding request from the state to replace their courthouse. And so it's about $1.25 million in planning funds for 1719, and then two construction requests in 1921 and later in 2123. In the third priority, this is where we start looking out a little more into the future and things get a little more hazy, as you might imagine. But several counties requested to get in line or at least let the assembly know that they were interested in pursuing a replacement project with state support. The first of those, or the highest priority, being Benton County. That original courthouse was built in 1888. So you can imagine it's not quite up to our building codes today. They have a new seismic assessment that does show serious seismic dangers to that. They are looking, they're conducting a public outreach process and are contemplating a public safety campus close by to the existing courthouse. And so we're looking for $1 million in planning funds in 1921 and then just under $6 million for construction in 2123. And I should just emphasize for everyone's sake that these are estimates. They have generally have not gone through a detailed planning or bid or anything that would really help focus and sharpen the pencil on those things, but this kind of, we hope, will give you kind of an order of magnitude of what these projects might look like. Columbia County was the next priority. Its original courthouse was built in 1905 with an addition in 1969. It was number 29 in that assessment of 48, so on the more serious side, it does not meet the requirements for seismic, fire, or safety. And as you will see, they are regularly show up on our request for improvements. They have a lot of needs in that county for that facility, and the state has invested some money on an ongoing basis just to kind of keep the roof on and the water out and all those kind of fun things. But Columbia County is interested in replacing that facility in the 23-25 biennium, so at the end of our planning period. Linn County is the third priority. Their original courthouse was built in 1940. It has, in the 2008 assessment, determined that it had needed excessive seismic improvements, and it has pretty serious defendant custody and security needs as well. That's another county that is looking at a public safety campus, and so would like to get in line for the state's assistance to replace that facility and have a courthouse be one of the central pieces of that campus. Lincoln County was the fourth. They had a more particular timeline of 2019-21. They are completing some other capital projects there. They did not have an amount. They have not done that planning work yet, but the AOC and the Chief Justice put them at the end of this third priority that had some level of detail. The next four counties are still in the third tier of priorities, but do not have any cost estimate or either no timeline or timeline far out in the future. And that would be Crook County. That's another kind of pioneer county courthouse. It was built in 1909. Douglas County was built in 1974, and you've seen some of the results from how that's going. Coos County, its original courthouse was built in 1920, and Josephine County, whose courthouse was built in 1915. So these are all counties that wanted to express interest. They have not engaged in much more planning or any detailed discussion or estimates on when their proposal might come or what it might look like at that time. The fourth priority that came up in this process were two counties that would be interested in making requests if the law was changed to allow state funding to help expand courthouses instead of replace them. So as we've talked about in our phase one, we have many needs for new judicial officers. Deschutes and Jackson counties are both towards the top of that list. They would both be interested in seeking state assistance if and when new judges are authorized. Deschutes County does have a suitable facility for hearing rooms, and then they can move, if they have multiple jury trials, they do have the ability to move judges into courtrooms that accommodate juries. Jackson County, I am not aware that they have a similar capacity, but I have not had that specific conversation. The cost ranges there are in part due because they have not done a thorough estimate of what their facility might look like, obviously depending on the number of judges that they think they might be getting in the near future. And then we also depends on how the state, if the state allows this, how it would structure the match requirement. So the low number would be the smaller project with a 25% match. The higher number listed would be a larger project with up to a 50% match. So that, I hope, explains the range that we presented there for you. So just to show you what that would look like if all these requests were granted, you can see that we have had a stable level of requests in 13-15 and 15-17. In 13-15, we had one construction request, that being Jefferson. In 15-17, it was an ongoing request from Multnomah in the development stages for site purchase, and then we finished off Jefferson and had the planning funds for Lane, which was a relatively small amount. In 17-19, you can see the impact of the construction request for Multnomah. That is the bulk of that bar there. And then the construction for Hood River and the planning money for Clackamas are also in there. So you now have two construction project requests in the 17-19 biennium that causes that big spike. In 1921, if granted, those would be three construction requests. You would have Lane County, the first construction request for Clackamas, the planning funding for Benton, and a construction request for Linn County. And then in 21-23, you would have another construction request from Clackamas, construction for Benton, and construction for Lincoln. So as you can tell, the number of the projects, the size of the projects, are really what drive how much bond funding we're requesting. And so that is one of the recommendations that I'll discuss a little bit later, is that if the Legislative Assembly has a target or requested amount or a do not exceed or some other kind of guidance for us, that would be very helpful in working with the county so we can say, you've got a good project, we'd like to help you, but they're here first and we need to put you 2 years down the line. So now moving to the specific recommendations. As I just mentioned, the first was, if the Assembly has a target amount in mind, we would love to work with you on that and help you structure these requests so they come to you on a more stable basis. What we have found, though, in addition to the number of projects and the size of the project, so for example, a request to replace the Benton County Courthouse is very different than a request to replace the Washington County Courthouse. But it's the key factor is the readiness and the willingness of a county to assume the project management and coming up with their own share of the funding. And when these counties come, they generally are ready to go and have the political support necessary to move forward. They've done a lot of their work at home, and now they're kind of testing the water to see if the state will help them do that. And it's, the farther out we ask counties to wait and continue their planning efforts without at least an indication of state support, the higher degree of likelihood that that support might dissipate or there will be a change in the Board of Commissioners that may have different priorities. So timing is an element here, and we would ask you to consider that as we set targets or at least discuss them. The second recommendation was to provide specific statutory authority to the Chief Justice to adopt some criteria to help structure this process. We have gone about this in the same way for a number of years now, but there is no specific requirement that, say, for example, a county has to have a specific site identified and or purchased before they apply for funds. There is no requirement that a county has a specific financing plan before they come to apply for state funds. And so if, obviously, having those in place would put a higher burden on the counties to kind of start on these projects to get a little ways down the road, and then we would want to work with both you and the counties to figure out where that sweet spot is to not have the counties get too far out on a limb before they have an indication that the state will be a willing and ready partner to help them with these courthouse projects. The third item is to enhance the state project management resources. Currently, by statute, OJD is the project manager, and we contract with DAS Facilities for those services because we simply, David is the facilities division, if you will. And so we do not have the expertise in-house. We contract with DAS, and when they have other needs and other responsibilities, it waters down the soup, and we frankly don't have as much of their expertise as we would like to have as soon as we would like to have it. I don't want to give you the impression that they are not responsive, that they do not do their best, but when they have many other projects going on that they have to devote attention to, there's only so much time in the day, and they have to get all the responsibilities done. So we believe that enhancing that level of state project management resource, and in particular, especially on these larger projects, to have someone with facilities experience involved in greater detail earlier on in the project, when a lot of these decisions kind of get baked into the budget and before they move forward, it'd be very helpful to have someone representing the state's interest in that process to make sure that the court is getting the most value for its space and the state is getting the most value for its investment, which, as you know, is considerable in these projects. The fourth is support a phased bond sale funding. As we started out with this, Multnomah was entering a brave new world. They had a three-biennium requesting strategy, but the legislature made clear at every step along the way that we're going to give you this much money with no promise of any more. And so we understand, obviously, the reasons for that, but the legislature in more recent years has agreed to provide some planning funds to help counties and show at least some level of interest in moving forward with these projects so we can come back with some planning and design documents that gives everybody a much better picture of what we're looking at in terms of scope and cost. So just an indication from you that the phased bonding would be an important process here. The other thing I would point out is the state bonds typically are sold at the end of the biennium, and we reimburse the county for expenses it already has incurred. And so as you can imagine, with these large projects, that creates a significant cash flow burden and a project management challenge for the counties. And so we understand that the fiscal impact of moving bond sales around is an important consideration, but by the same token, not having enough money when you need it creates a real challenge and can increase the risk of a project. The fifth item is to extend the time that county expenditures can count toward its match. Right now, once the project is authorized funds, we have a limited look-back period where we can say, yes, you've spent this money in the very recent past. We will count that toward your match. As we look at the Chief Justice criteria, which might add a timeline to that, and the county needs to have, you know, whatever these four items are to even apply for state assistance, it would be, I think, in everyone's interest to make sure that the state will accept those expenditures as match if and when we come to this process and we get approval for the state bond funds. So we have not done a lot of work on what that exact mechanism would look like, but I think it would encourage counties to come to this discussion with a more complete plan and a more mature plan if they could initiate that work earlier and know that they would get credited for it when we do the reconciliation process on MATCH. Number six is the stage gate approach to project funding. This is kind of a combination of number one and number four. For those of you who sit on IT projects, the state has moved to a pretty concise requirement that of series of steps that that an agency has to follow in order to request funding for an IT project to move forward in various stages. And so it's that kind of a regulated process where in order to take this step, you have to have this material. We'll give you funding for that part, and then we'll move on. But you have to get those approvals and meet those requirements at various steps along the way. And we think that would, again, enhance your ability to have oversight over these projects, but again, create a clear expectation on both the state side and the county side of what is involved in funding and managing these projects. And the last one is clearly define the expectations for co-location. The state will increase its match from 25% to 50% of the court portion of the project if a state agency is co-located somewhere in that project. And a couple things on that. One is that, again, the state is making a significant investment, and it can be making that investment based on a relatively small portion of the courthouse that is then available to a different state agency. And so if the legislature has some standard, whether that is to enhance the interaction with the court, to create a more efficient judicial system, to provide the state with rent savings, those I think would benefit from a candid discussion and perhaps some standard or requirement in writing. But that really does not exist right now. Counties come up with a plan that the Chief Justice approves because he needs to find an opportunity for co-location. But in the end, the cost benefit and what's the value the state is getting for its investment rests with you in approving and funding those projects. But I know that that has been an area of discussion in the building, and so if we can help you work through some of those issues and work with the counties to come back with something, we would be glad to do that. So that's a quick sprint through state funding of county courthouse facilities. I'd be glad to answer questions.
Are there questions? We're also very knowledgeable. I guess not. Mr. Moon, do you have anything to add?
I appreciate the committee's time, and I will keep this pipe well away from you.
Co-Chair Stark, you were out of the room when it was asked if there are any questions, comments. Excuse me.
Nothing's coming to mind.
Nothing is coming to mind. Thank you. How about the audience? Any questions out there? thank you. I do want to clarify because I had mentioned on that I did not have my piggy bank. And when Mr. Lemon mentioned that he could now go to what I fondly call alphabet soup, I have had a practice for those who haven't been on a committee with me that I've had a piggy bank. That for those who use acronyms, I find them, and those dollars would go to either Oregon Food Share or something like that. I didn't have that this year because I knew that everyone who came before me was knowledgeable of that practice and therefore would make certain that they didn't use acronyms. So thank you, Mr. Lemon, for remembering that.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Yes. And Mr. Bender, do you have anything to add?
Just a reminder that tomorrow there will be a work session on a request that Mr. Levin talked about of repurposing $500,000 of CFA monies toward the Douglas County Courthouse project. Mm. And there will be a presentation on state court technology funding. The budget actually has a shortfall as it comes forward, funding ongoing support for technology systems. And this will be an issue that will need to be addressed in this budget, and that will presumably require some additional revenues. So
So this is just a reminder, members, that that on work sessions we do need a quorum in order to pass out items that are on work sessions. So just know that is on the agenda tomorrow. So I would expect everyone to be here on time, with the exception. I understand that the good Representative Barker, I think I got an excuse from you already, that you will not be here tomorrow, correct?
I think I'll be here tomorrow, not Thursday.
Oh, is it Thursday? So you're only, I thought there were 2 days that I heard from your staff.
Just say yes. Yes.
I'll get out of jail for you.
So my eyesight's getting better, Mr. Lemon.
Okay. I will be here tomorrow. I'll be here tomorrow.
So if there's no questions, then we are adjourned. We will see you tomorrow. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Senator.